I'm Liza Holland, and I'm a communications consultant. I'm focused on education. Words matter. Choose them wisely.
Hi, welcome to the Writer's Rotation podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Stamps. I love words and writing and people and talking. So I'm talking to people who write all kinds of things in different professions. It's a Writer's Rotation.
Liza!
Hi!
So have you ever had a job that just did not involve writing much, if any?
Not that I can think of. Even then I had to do some writing because I was thinking in high school, I was a cashier at a grocery store. And most of that was numbers and, you know, dealing with exchange of money. But even then I had to write some reports.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing these days?
Oh, writing all the time.
Okay.
My joyful space is doing some storytelling for a local public school system, the Fayette County Public Schools, and we are tracking the progress of a new initiative there. And so getting to put that out in lots of different ways, including a documentary. So I'm writing some script for a documentary now where I've been doing lots of blogs and I've been a freelance writer for a very long time, but getting to push the envelope a little bit.
Very cool. Any particular favorites now, types of writing?
You know, it's interesting. I've been experimenting with fiction. I have always been a nonfiction type of a writer, and that's kind of what I'm doing with work. But getting to experiment a little bit with fiction writing has been a really neat experience. Just for myself, I've ghostwritten some books for clients, but again, it's nonfiction, and I've been very involved in the veterinary space. I do some consulting with a advertising agency and do some work there, but it's all nonfiction related, and so I feel very comfortable there. That's my comfort zone. But getting into the fiction was kind of fun.
Did you write little stories growing up? Were you good with English and writing?
Yes. English and social studies were my jam, and loved writing papers specifically for social studies because all of that history and whatnot, that's really where I flourished.
What do you remember about words and reading and writing in school? Maybe like the very first book you read or the first time you were told a story?
You know, I loved stories from a very young age. My story that I remember first being read to me was Dr. Seuss's Sleep Book.
I was raised on Dr. Seuss myself.
Loved, loved, loved that book. But as I grew up, I became a very, very avid reader. I was a bit of an introvert, especially in elementary school. And the crossing guard actually saw me coming and would stop the cars to let me pass so I didn't have to look up from my book as I was walking and reading.
Wait, you can walk and read?
Yes, yes.
What about riding in a car? Can you read without getting car sick?
I can do that too. Oh yeah. The whole Twilight series I read on a trip back and forth to Chicago with my family.
I don't know if that's a magical skill or you're blessed somehow. Is it the neurological system or something?
I think so, because I have plenty of friends that cannot read in the car, but for whatever the reason, reading is my happy place. It doesn't matter where it is.
What is your go-to for the mechanics?
Mechanics as far as?
Book, Kindle, audiobooks.
Oh, yes. Well, I was always a physical book person until I had kids and I had to be in 1,000 different places and I just missed reading. I wasn't reading much and I wound up starting to read on a Kindle on my phone because I'd be waiting for some kid in a car line and so I could read for a few minutes and have that little magical space. And ever since I have for fiction, I have become a complete Kindle reader. For nonfiction, I still like the physical book.
Interesting. Where do your tastes run with fiction? One particular genre or all over the map?
Oh, a little bit of all over the map. Sometimes I love just a fluffy, fun read that I don't have to think about. And usually when life has kind of exhausted me, I love to have a sweet little tale from a magical little place in Ireland where everything happens and it's wonderful. But I also love books that make me think, that really make me question the world and that sort of a thing. I am a super person for a crime drama. Nora Roberts is probably my favorite there.
Mm-hmm.
I love books with good character development. If I can really love the characters, it almost doesn't really matter to me as much what they're doing as, if I can buy in and follow those folks through whatever their adventure is, I'm on board. One of the neat things for me about Nora Roberts is that my mother-in-law was in a writing group with her in her early days. And I loved hearing that the way she started writing was during a snowstorm and all of her kids were home and she just couldn't handle it anymore. And she put herself in the closet and started writing. And she's been writing ever since.
She is a cranker outer. She is nonstop.
Oh my gosh, she is. But you know, she just has a natural gifted talent because they used to go to a little neighborhood dining place, little, you know, their version of the pub. And they would go in and at the beginning of the evening, they would give Nora elements of a story, where it was, some of the characters, some conflict, whatever, just pieces. And then they would have dinner and they, you know, talk and chat and have this great thing. And at the end, at dessert time, Nora would tell a story with all of those elements.
Wow.
She spent the time during dinner just crafting this story, and she could come up with a really well-balanced and developed story for the crowd right there. I mean, and that, that's just a serious natural gift.
Yes. Ooh, I wonder if those stories still exist. Somebody wrote them down or recorded them.
Probably some, and probably some are just lost.
Some turned into books.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. And you lived in Ireland.
I did. And actually, that was how I got into writing some fiction, because I was not allowed to work because I was a trailing spouse. And there's all these international rules and everything.
Is that a term, trailing spouse?
Yes, that is an expat term. And so I was not able to work. So I had to fill my time, right? So one of the things I did was I joined a writing group. And that was where we were doing a bunch of little prompts and all that kind of thing. And that's where I started to dip my toes into the fiction world. And it was really, really neat.
That is so cool.
Lots and lots of neat authors from Ireland. I fell in love with Maeve Binchy there. She lived in the town that I was living in Dalkey. They now have a whole festival every year. She has since passed, but they have a whole festival called Echoes that is all inspired by Maeve Binchy, and they do little plays of her books and all kinds of neat things.
You lived elsewhere overseas? Germany?
Actually, no. Belgium.
Belgium.
We lived in Waterloo of the Napoleon fame, just south of Brussels. And that was another really neat experience because Brussels is such a cosmopolitan city because it's the home of the EU. So you heard language, you know, you talk about words and hearing all these different languages every time you went downtown. You never knew what you were going to run into. So it was a pretty magical place. Highly recommend.
Wait, they speak German, French,
Dutch,
and Dutch,
and English.
And English.
You know, interesting thing about words and language acquisition there. The folks in the Dutch half, which is kind of the northern half of Belgium, all of their television is done with subtitles. So they heard a lot of English growing up as they were watching TV. So their English is really quite proficient. The southern half, Wallonia, which is where they speak French, all of their television is dubbed over in French. And so very few people that I encountered had a really strong grasp of English.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
There you go with the media.
Exactly. Makes a big difference.
What did you want to be when you were a little kid?
Lots of different things. For a long while, I wanted to be a neuroscientist. Then I had a problem with my eyes. There was a medical theme for a while. And I thought, oh, no, wouldn't that be neat to do ophthalmology and, you know, really work with eyes? Because that was I had some doctor that was helping me with that. But when I graduated, I wanted to go into international business because I just, you know, loved that whole language acquisition sort of piece and thought it would be neat to travel the world. And of course, I went to college and all of those classes were offered overseas, not really on campus. So wound up with a regular marketing degree. But I tell you, as far as words are concerned, the marketing piece of that, I learned from the marketing director of DuPont. It was an evening class, and I learned more in that class than I think I did the entire rest of my college career. And so much of it was practical application and how you can turn content into different types of things. And you'd think it would come from an English class, but nope, came from that.
Oh, interesting. And what school was that?
The University of Delaware.
And that was how far from your home in upstate New York?
Yes. I am affectionately termed a Reformed Yankee. Grew up in Western New York near Chautauqua Institution, actually. A lot of learning about arts and writing and all that kind of a thing there as well. Delaware was probably 10 hours away.
Oh, wow. And how did you get to Kentucky?
I got to Kentucky through this circuitous route. I started working while I was still in school for a company called Club Corporation of America at one of their private city clubs in Delaware. And as happens so often with kids, opportunities started to present themselves. So I moved to Roanoke, Virginia, and became a maitre d' there, and then on to Raleigh, North Carolina, and got to work as a restaurant manager and also the manager of all of their beverage. That was a really big club, and one of which was an award-winning wine list. So I got to learn all about wine, and that was just really fabulous. Got to dream about setting my stories in wine country. And then I was transferred here to Lexington as the membership director. So that was all about using words through making relationships and hopefully making things stick through sales.
I think you would have a really good grasp on dialogue with all of that customer service background.
You know, you would think that I would, and I can write it, but I cannot easily punctuate it.
What?
I have the worst time trying to write dialogue. Yeah, that's one of those, everybody has a little challenge with something. Writing down dialogue is torturous for me. I've never figured out exactly how I need to present it. I keep looking in different books, and different authors do it differently. It's the how you make your quotations and she saids and he saids and all that transfer, and when do you get rid of that and just make that full dialogue, and it's on different lines on the paper and all that kind of thing.
Okay.
I figure maybe then I'll just have an editor that will fix it for me.
Yes, we all have wordly word challenges. You have a podcast.
I do have a podcast.
Let's talk about your podcast.
That's how I get to use my words as well. I have a podcast called Education Perspectives, and it's really about trying to get to know the people behind this big label of education and also start to track some of the neat flashes of brilliance that we have as far as changing the education system to better meet the needs of today.
How's that going?
It's going great. I'm meeting so many neat people. And each one of those relationships that you build with new people, you find new opportunities to explore different things. So it's been really rewarding. We're on season two, second full year of the pod, and starting to even stretch out into other places. I talked to a lady this week who's doing work in Australia that's going to be on the show.
That is so cool.
Get lots of different perspectives.
Yes, education perspectives. What kind of changes are you hearing about vis-a-vis writing and communication?
I think that reading and writing have gone through a lot of changes in education over time. We're having some serious problems with how reading development has been happening, and they're kind of going back to where they started to some degree and getting back into phonics of how you use those words. So there's a lot of that. There's some research into the science of reading that's really been applied. As far as writing is concerned, it made me chuckle. We're coming back into some cursive writing here in Kentucky based upon the last legislative session.
Really? When did that go out? I didn't realize that no one was learning cursive anymore. I'm like, since when?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's different in different places, but the need for it has been steadily going away, you know, other than you really can't read some of the great historical documents.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know how to read cursive. So,
or your great grandmother's letters.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a lost art. Yeah. It seems like the classic reading and writing type of curriculum is still there a lot. In fact, that's one of the things that we're starting to hear from business people who are hiring recent graduates is that they're not spending enough time on the type of communication and writing that is necessary in business. Kids don't know how to write an email effectively. They don't know how to, you know, to summarize things in a really condensed type of a fashion to be able to present at meetings. So I think there's still some work to be done as far as what we do in the writing teaching process.
Salutation, body, closing. Mm-hmm. Also, my emails have changed fairly recently. I used to have a philosophy of starting every piece of correspondence with thank you or something positive. And I just thought that was, you know, the best philosophy ever. However, I've found that when I'm skimming through my own inbox, I will just read whatever shows up in that preview pane. So if it says, thank you, or I enjoyed this, or blah, 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 I just assume that's the entire message. So I know if I'm doing it, other people are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So now instead of hi, Liza, comma, space, new line, I'm just going to start off with Liza, comma, can you da-da-da-da-da?
You know, the scary thing is we are living in such an age of information overload that the average attention span is 8 seconds.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't hooked someone in the first 8 seconds, they're probably not going to read on.
Yes, I know. And how many times have you sent an email or a text to a client or whomever, and you say, do you want the so-and-so or the such-and-such? And they write back, yes.
You did not read what I asked you.
Also, I try to have a headline or a subject line that says three things or two questions or 4 points or something so they know, don't just read that very first line.
It is an art form in and of itself at this point in time. I've had that same problem with the choices piece, and I wind up putting the first choice on one line and then or in capital letters. And then the second thing.
Oh, that's good. That's good as a template of sorts. Yeah. Communication is just, it's a huge topic.
It really is. And so many people do not really think it through. I've had a number of clients that they want to communicate more. They want to do a better job of communicating. And I get a blank look when I say, okay, why? Why do you want to communicate? What is it that you are intending to accomplish by this? Is there an action that you want people to take after they have read whatever it is that you are
CTA
are writing or seeing or whatever it happens to be? And who is the audience that you are trying to reach? Because how you deploy that communication and the tone of writing that you're going to have is going to change based upon, you know, why is it that we're doing this? If we're just doing it to celebrate, that's okay. But is it worth your time? Working people through that process, I've had multiple clients that started out going, I have no idea. I have never thought of it that way before. The way that marketing is working now, it's a lot more about building a brand strategy.
Yeah.
Building a recognition and a reputation for whatever it is that you are selling, whether it's a service or a product, making people feel good about it. And it's a much longer journey than just the very transactional, okay, I'm going to buy widget A and I did it because I saw an ad.
Yes, journey for sure. Are you a journaler? Do you enjoy putting thoughts to paper?
Sometimes. I am an intermittent journaler. Sometimes I love pouring out words and stories and that sort of a thing. But I have tried over time to do the everyday. And I think the longest I've ever made it is maybe 8 months. And something always happens. And once it becomes a chore, then I'm kind of like, eh.
Yep. You know, that whole consistency thing is a trait I admire so much. I don't have it.
But I tell you, there's nothing quite like getting in the zone with a particular story. You know, you've done all your research, you've put all these things together, and it's kind of cooked in your head. But then you just really get to get into, you know, making it happen. And that's a happy place for me. I couldn't do it in piece by piece by piece by piece. I'm much more of a streaky, let's go get it done and really get it done.
So what's your process for writing articles?
I have most of it written in my head before it actually gets to the page.
Hmm.
Love doing lots of research, love you know, finding out what other people have to say about it. Love doing interviews. That, again, is my happy place. I love that. And picking people's brains. I get frustrated if I try to put it down in words before I have a good flow in my head of how I'm going to present it. I will spend time that does not look like productive time.
Yes.
Just letting it toil and letting it cook and all that kind of thing. So by the time I actually sit down to write it, it's mostly fully formed. Always, always have to, you know, write it, put it away, come back to it, do another edit.
Let it marinate.
Sometimes even another edit. Yeah, because I always come back with a slightly different take on it. And I also am a much better editor of myself if I give it some space, because I read it like I know it's supposed to be written and I will not catch mistakes. I'm still not even good with that. You know, I still want an editor.
We all do that. What about the opening sentence? You have that?
That is kind of played and massaged a little bit. It's not so much the opening sentence that is the turning point for me as the perspective from which I'm going to write this. What is my main point? What are the key takeaways that I hope after you read this, you're going to walk away thinking this, this, and this? Those are the anchors for me when I sit down to write.
Ooh, that's cool.
And yeah, that first sentence is always, and it's becoming more important. So I need to spend more time on it than I do. But that one kind of plays around a little. I don't have to lock that in first. Sometimes it's the last thing that gets completely finished.
Yes, for sure. Liza, thank you so much for sharing your take on writing.
Sure.
Your perspective. See you over coffee and keyboards.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Writer's Rotation. Like and subscribe for more. And remember, writing is a marketable skill. Smiling is a remarkable skill.